Hallo en welkom bij aflevering 92 van de NLN Show, waar het draait om hoe je online meer resultaat boekt voor jouw bedrijf. Hoe je als ondernemer online gebruikt voor meer klanten en omzet. Mijn naam is Erno Hanning en ik neem ondernemers met een team het werk uit handen voor online resultaat. Meer klanten en 50% meer omzet binnen een jaar. Vandaag een gesprek met Peter O'Donoghue. Peter is een expert in het ontwikkelen van outbound sales systemen om je te verbinden met moeilijk bereikbare beslissers in bedrijven die veel benaderd worden zonder koud te bellen. In het kort, dit systeem zorgt voor jouw eerste afspraak met jouw doelklant op een non-sleazy, professionele en op een waarde gebaseerde manier die geen afwijzing of schade aan je merk veroorzaakt. Dit is een aflevering uit de voormalige Number One Coachbiz podcast, die niet verloren mag gaan. De aflevering is in het Engels. Veel plezier met dit bijzondere gesprek met Peter. Laten we beginnen.
Welkom in de Erno Hanning Show. De podcast waar je meer leert over de online kant van jouw coachingsbedrijf. Praktische tips die je helpen om vandaag jouw bedrijf online zichtbaar te maken.
Peter, welcome to the Number One Coachbiz podcast.
Hey, hi there, and thank you for having me on.
Yes, and this is Peter O'Donoghue from the UK.
Oh, absolutely. Said spot on. First time.
Yeah, because when I read it, I have to go, oh, how do you pronounce that? But, you know, I'm glad I did it right.
Oh, you'd be amazed at how I've heard it pronounced. So much so that when I grew up, I think my father, the first thing he had me do when I passed my driving test was I then became the person that used to go and pick up the Chinese takeaway for him. So I used to have to say, and in the end, I ended up telling him that I was Mr. Jones, because it just saved the man the Chinese takeaway so much hassle of trying to pronounce my name. So for about 15 years, he knew me as Mr. Jones.
Well, right now the audience will know you as Mr. Donoghue. O'Donoghue.
Yeah, let's stick to that. Yeah.
My first question is always the same, because the good thing is that, you know, people, they are listening, they get a quick grip on what you do. And the question is, when you go to a networking event and somebody comes up to you and asks, what do you do? What do you tell them?
Okay, so do you know when you're a coach or a consultant or in business for yourself, when you struggle to make a direct conversation or an opening with high-level B2B executives? That's what I help people do. So I work with coaches, consultants, software and telecoms companies, B2B companies, and my methodology is very much outbound. So it works in tangent with many of the inbound principles, but I help people connect with senior decision makers.
Oh, you already bring up so much point that I can talk about that I have, you know, I want to learn more about it. I write stuff down so I can have the time to ask you this question. Because the first thing that I got my interest is, you say outbound and then with inbound.
Absolutely.
How does this work?
Okay, so I guess there's many more, but to make it very simplistic, I guess, and I like to keep things concepts as simple as I can, there's two ways of generating business. So the predominant methodology that we see as coaches and consultants in, you know, the people that we engage with in the advertising that we see is all about attraction. And, you know, you see these words a lot, specifically Facebook advertising, LinkedIn advertising, you know, blogs and podcasts, about attraction. It's getting clients to come to you. And that's what we call inbound. So it's about doing marketing practices to get clients to come to you, to make inquiries to come to you. And that goes right across the board. So that could be, you know, content distribution, even things like Google pay-per-click, Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads. It's about bringing people to you. That's inbound. Outbound is when you proactively target your ideal prospects and you proactively reach out to them and make that very important first contact with them, rather than trying to get them to come to you.
Is that what people would call cold sales?
Yeah, in many ways, it's cold sales here. Yeah, I've been in this game a long, long time, and there's different, people are putting different messages out there, you know, is it cold, warm, is it, but yeah, it's cold outbound, you know, there's an argument that it can be warm outbound, you know, and I'm sure we'll get onto this, you know, there's different technology, we're in the best place available for, you know, I've been in sales probably 23 years, and I've never seen so much opportunity to reach out to people with a very, very highly leveraged, relevant message for them at the right time, at the right place, so you can miraculously be in the right time in the right place. So is that cold? You know, my position is not really. You know, if you can find out, for example, that a business is just launching a new product into Germany, for example, then that, you know, a US-based organization is launching a new product into Germany, and that is your speciality, then, you know, and you reach out to them, then that's a warm outreach rather than cold, I would say, because it's a very relevant message and it's very relevant in its timing.
Yeah, and the way I have always seen cold calling or whatever you do to get to them is you don't know them. They don't know you.
In many ways, they don't know you. That's absolutely right. So I use a very unique methodology that combines multiple channels of outreach. But my predominant method is using cold email as the bridge to engage someone, first of all. And that's purely because, you know, the way we as people and as society communicate now has changed so much that email is a very easy position to start. You know, there's so many reasons why I do that with clients. So one, it's relatively easy now to get anyone's email address. You know, I can show you and talk about resources that no matter who you're trying to target, it's very easy to get their email address. There's also technology that helps you put in place, you know, outbound systems that allow you to make multiple contacts with people.
That sounds very interesting. Tell me more.
Okay, so let's have a look at the technology. So, so say you're a HR coach or HR consultant, and you know you're running LinkedIn ads and Facebook ads, and you're attracting clients to you, but you've got a corporate development program that you want to launch, and you think, okay, well, actually, I want to be speaking to the CEO and the HR directors of companies within London that have between 20 and 100 employees. So there's a number of services available now that sit as a wrapper on top of LinkedIn. So they're not pulling any data from LinkedIn, and it's not LinkedIn prospecting by any means. But the thing about LinkedIn as a data source is it's generally the most current service around, because as soon as someone changes their job, they update their LinkedIn profile. Mm. So what these services do is it enables you to do all of the searching that you can within LinkedIn. So you can search by their title, how long they've been in that position, i.e. their experience, you know, their industry sector, their average revenue, their number of employees, their, you know, so much more depending on the level of LinkedIn subscription that you have. So you can profile people that way. And what it does, these services, because the thing about LinkedIn, you should concur with this. If anyone's ever looked at this, people on LinkedIn generally use their personal email address. Mm. So, you know, downloading their contacts from LinkedIn and making contact with them there is, you know, a very inefficient, non-productive way to do it. Because all the studies that I've undertaken show about 85% of people use their personal email address. And it just makes sense, you know, because if you're going to be approached by a headhunter, you want it coming to your personal email address. If there's a risk that your company might make you redundant tomorrow or just close its doors, whatever happens, sack you, or, you know, you just don't know. You want your LinkedIn profile under your personal address.
Right.
So, you know, very rarely do you get business, unless it's an entrepreneur or a business owner, you know, most people put their personal email address. So if you're pulling, you know, connecting with people, and that's strategy, you know, some people have outsourcers, connecting with their prospects on LinkedIn in the hope that they'll accept, so then they can access their email address that they might put on their profile. You know, but that's a very inefficient way of doing it, and it's likely if they do, it's going to be their personal email address. And if you're sending a business introduction via their personal email address, you know, there's a mismatch there of messages. So what these wrappers do is they sit on top of LinkedIn and they look at the person's first name, they look at the person's last name, and they look at the company name that they're working for. And then they go out and create permutations of what that email could be. So the most statistically relevant one is firstname.lastname@company.com. And then they have ways of going out using email testing solutions and seeing if that email is actually live. And then if it isn't live, they'll create another permutation and they'll go out. And there's multiple different ones that do this, but other ones will then go out and actually search. And if there's an instance found of that email on the internet, it will validate that it's the right one as well. Or they will look at other email addresses from that company. And if they find 20 other email addresses with first name dot last name, but they can't find that person's, there's a high statistical relevance that that is going to be that person's email address. And these type of services are kind of growing. There's one called found.ly, so Foundly. There's one called SellHack. There's one called SalesLoft. There's quite a few, and it's kind of a growing area at the moment.
Interesting.
It's very, very easy to build a highly targeted prospect list.
I will include these the links to these services in the show notes so people can look them up.
Fantastic.
So then you contact them, but still they don't know you, and you call them, and you know, they feel that you want to sell them something.
Cool. Oh, well, it's a good point, actually. Is so in my methodology, so we send outbound emails. So we make an introduction to these people. But the only thing that we're looking to do in that email is to elicit a response. So they're generally very, very short emails, no more than about 4 or 5 lines. We never, ever pitch a product or a solution. You know, the old pitching style and the way that spam emailers do it. We never do that. So it's, you know, it's a timely email with a relevant message that's very short. But what we're looking to do is get someone to respond to us. Because once they respond, that gives us an opportunity and a bridge to then pick the phone up and engage them in a human-centric conversation. And for many people, that takes away the fear of making outbound contacts. Because most people are comfortable making that first initial contact via email. They're not pitching. They're not ruining their position. They're not, you know, being pushy, slimy salespeople or spammers. You know, generally, it's a very targeted message that should have high relevance to that individual because they're one-to-one emails. It's not fancy HTML or newsletters. You know, the worst thing in the world is, you know, all this stuff where, you know, someone connects with you on LinkedIn and all of a sudden you start getting their newsletter. You know,
yeah.
Don't do it. It's not that. You know, this is an email that's coming from an individual to another business individual with a highly targeted message, but it's only eliciting a response. You're not pitching. You're not talking too much about your product or your solution. Only thing you're looking for is a response.
Right. Actually, what you mentioned there is I have a separate email address that I only use for LinkedIn. And the funny thing is that I think about every day I get a new newsletter from somebody sending that I haven't heard of before, sending it to that email address. So I know for 100% sure that I have never registered for an email.
Yeah.
And they just put me on the list. And I can't understand that you do that. Because, you, first of all, you're doing something illegal. You're spamming. But secondly, I will never respond to your email this way.
No, I don't know about you, but, you know, consciously I make notes and then say, right, okay, if our paths ever do cross in business, I'll make a note that I'm not going to do business with you.
It's yeah. Can you give, some... An example, I would say, but the content of this first email that you send out?
Yeah, I mean, we've got loads of templates and processes, and I do this all the time. So there's a number of different approaches. So one is what's called a purposely vague email, and it's quite well known in kind of the cold email circles, and sometimes it's called the appropriate person. And it is just that. It's a very short email. It says, you know, hi, John, I wonder if you can help me. I'm looking for the best person that deals with marketing at XYZ business. and it's designed that way. And it, even the phrase, so if you do marketing automation, then you discuss it at a level up marketing, because if you can imagine, you're looking for someone to respond to you. So if you go too specific, then it's too easy for them to say yes or no, because they have perceptions about who you are and what you are. So, and that's called the purposely vague email. And that, to be honest, there's a lot of people starting to do that. It's kind of there's a lot of people jumping on this bandwagon because, you know, they're starting to read blogs. And that's kind of the easiest one to do, because it doesn't really require a huge amount of intelligence or strategy behind it. But you know, it has worked, but I think the days of that one working once this becomes more popular are being numbered, I see, in the marketplace. But then you have, you know, reasonably specific ones. So you could have something, again, this is an example that I use quite a lot. So say you've just completed a project with Coca-Cola, and it was a HR consulting project, a coaching consulting project, and you've helped reduce their staff churn down from 27% to 19%, which is on track to save them £1 million a year. So obviously you're going to think, okay, so I've completed that with Coke. If it is ethical and non-competing to do so, your next logical point would be, well, who else can I take this to that's in the same industry or is facing the same challenge? So that might be Pepsi. So the email to Pepsi might be something like, the headline might be a project with Coke. Very direct relevance. If you sent that to the HR director of Pepsi or the VP of HR for Pepsi, and in the subject line you're mentioning Coke, they're highly likely to open it. So then the way I structure it is almost, anti the high pitch stuff that you get. You know, if I could show you a way of doing this, or I've got this for you, it's very different. So, in one of my email templates, I start off, hey, I don't know how relevant this is for you. And that's the first line. And the reason I use something like that is I kind of developed that many years ago when I was teaching cold calling, because it was the anti approach. It was anti everything else people were doing. So I'd call people up and say, I don't know how relevant. Hi, John, it's Peter O'Donoghue. I don't know how relevant this is for you. And then I'd shut up, because most people are expecting someone who calls them to blast them straight away with their pitch. And say, hi, I've got this for you, and I got it. They talk 100 miles an hour, hoping something will fit, but it never does. So, and it's kind of, there's a little bit of psychology behind that, because especially on the phone, people are more likely to go, they're kind of waiting for you to finish. And then they said, well, tell me and I'll see how much, how relevant it is. But this psychology around how it's written and structured as well, how relevant this is. It's not, is it relevant? It's, I don't know how relevant this is for you. So that email template might be something like, hi John, I don't know how relevant this is for you. So next paragraph. So we've just completed a project with Coke where we've reduced the staff churn down from 27% down to 19%, which is on track to save them £1 million this year and each and every year. So once we completed the project, I naturally thought of you because I was keen to understand how relevant the prevailing issue of staff churn is to Pepsi.
Right.
So something like that is going to get you, a minimum of a 50 to 60% response rates.
And what is the moment that you will actually pick up the phone and call them?
Pretty much when they respond.
Right.
So the way I structure it for my clients, a lot of my clients are, quite fast growth businesses. So, I work with a lot of consultants and coaches who are looking to maybe get 10 or 20 clients a year at that high level, if they've got programs, £50,000 kind of programs for corporates, then it's that type of approach that will unlock that first conversation, because it's not about selling, it's just about unlocking the first conversation. So I've got a concept I call stage gates. So most badly trained salespeople, rookie salespeople, or kind of too long in the tooth to learn, have this challenge where what they're always doing is they're focused on the outcome. So even when they they make the cold call or a cold email. They're talking about what it'd be like to do business. So, hi, John, I'd love to come and see you and talk about how we could place your business with us, or how easy it would be to become a client and how we could save you X amount of money. I mean, it's just like too much. You know, all of a sudden you've just spoken to someone for the first time or sent them an email for the first time, and you're talking about what could happen if they become a client. And it's just, it's like, you know, it's like walking up to a member of the opposite sex in a bar and saying, hi, you know, my name's Peter, would you like to come home and sleep with me? It's just like, it's too much on the first go. So what you do is you structure your sales process into mini gates. So what you're only ever looking to do at the next stage is move to the next gate. So in my system, we find our ideal prospect profile so we can email them. Okay, so yeah, so when they respond, so in my system, the only reason that we're looking for them to respond is so we can pick up the phone and engage with them. Because no matter if they're a potential ideal prospect for you, then you want to engage with them. Because even if it's not a fit now, they might be a fit 6 months down the line or a year down the line. So the quicker you can start to engage with them and build that rapport, the quicker you can position yourself as an expert with them. So again, I've got, you know, a very highly structured process and script that will turn any response you get into a reason to have a first call. Even the dreaded, I'm not interested.
It sounds amazing. I was trying to look back and see, because we talked about the principles and I forgot what I was going to ask there. I have one question about LinkedIn, right? So you have all these systems that you, things that you put over LinkedIn, but I imagine that you also network on LinkedIn with other people, connect with them directly over there.
Yeah, I do, but I tend to, I have to say, I don't do a huge amount of business generation via LinkedIn. For me, you know, there's no right or wrong. As many platforms that you can get working for you as lead generation, the better, as long as it fits within your cost profile or time versus cost profile. And for me, LinkedIn has never been a strong focus because, you know, I've got skill sets elsewhere. So personally, I see LinkedIn becoming less and less of a business generation platform, networking platform. You know, groups are becoming less attractive. You know, most people are having a one-way dialogue in groups now. I see personally, I see the death of groups in LinkedIn. You know, people will be moving, and I don't know if you're aware, Facebook are kind of talking about a Facebook business style approach where they have LinkedIn's type groups and business pages. So, you know, I see that growing. There are so many automated softwares that will do a whole gamut of things on LinkedIn. So they create fake profiles, they create groups, they send you fake friend or, you know, LinkedIn connection requests, they look at your profile in the hope that you'll, you know, look back at their profile and connect, you know. Me personally, I don't do a huge amount on LinkedIn because I have a different skill set, and I see it certainly over the last 6 months to a year becoming quite a hotbed of spam. And there are so many courses teaching you how to do business on LinkedIn by sending messages, by creating your own group and inviting people into your group. Now, the more popular those courses have become, the less effective they are. Because quite frankly, I'm sick of people doing that to me.
Yeah. Well, in LinkedIn, what I do is when people invite me, I check out their profile. And, you know, when I think there's a mutual interest, I will connect and I will send them an email in LinkedIn. So a message, a personal message asking, so thank you for connecting. And do you have a special reason to connect? And most of the people reply, and it often is a good start to get into a conversation. Like, it's okay, and they say, well, I messed up, and I sent all these automated messages out, or I've read your book, or I've done this, and that's why I want to follow you. And then this gives me an opportunity to go back to them and say, okay, so how are you going? What's going on in your business, and so what are you struggling with now? So for me, I don't see it as a way of doing business right now, but it is a good start for a conversation for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's kind of more individual style contact approach I had. Like I say, you know, I'm not saying my approach is right. I just get, you know, I probably get like 30 connection requests a day, and I struggle to find the time to look through every single one. And a lot of those now are spam. But they, you know, my thing is get a way that's working. And make and leverage it, whatever way that is, leverage it. If that's working for you, perfect, make it leverage. And then, you know, maybe add little bits in around it and change platforms. Yeah. So one thing that I get with, certainly sort of the coaches, consultants, where it's low volume but high touch, is you can combine that with things like Twitter or cold email and pull these different things together. So, you know, here's one that I kind of, borrowed, I guess, is a way of describing it from a guy that I know called Nathan Hague, and he showed me this tactic. Is you can actually send a video tweet. So if you want to tweet to someone, if you go into the tweet, you can press the camera icon. So most people do it to send a photo, but you can actually flip it onto video. So you can actually send someone a personalized video message that will appear on their Twitter timeline. So, you know, think about that. If someone asks for a connection request that is a great fit for your ideal prospect and you want to engage in a conversation, you can accept. You can do what you're saying there, which is, you know, send them that further email, and that's perfect. You know, that's spot on. And then you can actually augment that by doing something like going to their Twitter, following them on Twitter, maybe even sending them a personalized 20-second video message on Twitter.
Great. That sounds really a great idea.
Again, it depends what your audience is, you know, and they're, you know, because I know most of them are consultants and coaches, you know, mainly coaches. Yeah, and there's some really clever ways around of doing that as well. So if that's happening, then there's so many clever tactics around. And I don't mean tactics, I mean they're strategies, you know, they're proper, you know, focused on the other person. So, you know, if you're getting connection requests from LinkedIn and you follow them on Twitter and they're putting out good content and good stuff, you know, amalgamate the best 10 into a blog post.
Yeah.
You know, write about them into a blog post. If they're your ideal prospects, you know, say if it was, you know, I stick with HR consultants because it's one that I, you know, find easy to kind of draw examples from that I think are relevant for everyone. But, you know, it could be, you know, the top 10 HR directors in the UK and how they're restructuring, and you could pull in some of their tweets, you could pull in some of their blog articles they've written. But what you then can do is leverage that, and you can go back out and retweet, you know, tweet them and say, you know, hey John, I don't know if you noticed, but I've included you in a blog post that I did, and you can then go and message them on LinkedIn with that as well. You know, so the cool thing about this is, you know, you just need a system. You know, I've got a system and I follow that system, and I rarely get drawn in with, you know, the next shiny object. Mm-hmm. And I've got a system, and I'll try to pull those into my system if I can. But, you know, I've got a system that works. And that's really is, you know, don't get drawn in by the next shiny object. Get a system that works for you. And here's a tip. I've used this with salespeople for years and years and years. Draw up a standard working week. If you're not doing this as a coach and a consultant, draw up a standard working week that says, you know, Monday between 9 and 10, I'll be doing my social media, for example. I'll be doing that, or dealing with my LinkedIn connection requests, or building my list to do my cold outreach. Yeah, and just block it out in, you know, maybe 2-hour segments, your entire week. And then you can have flexible ones. You know, you might be, you know, client call, stroke lead generation via whatever your system is. So, you know, that's the blocking. It might be Tuesday, 3 to 4 is a client call. But your fallback, if you haven't got any client calls scheduled in, is you will do this next lead gen action, which might be, you know, Twitter or LinkedIn or cold emailing or, you know, whatever it is. You know, and that will save you so much time and give you so much return. It's unbelievable.
I love it. I love it a lot, Peter. We are closing up for the final two questions. And this one is probably pretty easy for you. If you could give the listeners a short tip that they can implement right away, and I think you already gave just one now, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to do another one, is what would you tell them that they could use and implement fast?
Okay, so what would I give them to do that can implement fast? Funny enough, we talked about it. You were telling me about something that you were doing before we got on the call, is draw up a list of your top 100, top 200, or top 500 prospects. That's all you've got to do. Draw up that list. I understand why you want to target them. Bear in mind, Jared, if you're dealing with consumers or individuals, this may be slightly harder. My background is obviously more targeting businesses. So draw up a list of 100 or 250 businesses or your key influencers that you want to connect with. And then systematically design an approach to those and implement the system.
Right. It's up to you what the system is going to be, but I agree. Drawing up a list, starting there, and you know, make a system that you are purposely and at a set time, at a set rhythm, contact these people so they know who you are and you know who they are, and you learn from them, not with the intention to sell right away, but just to make the connection.
Yeah, absolutely. So offer value. You know, there's a big thing in internet marketing, which is, you know, value in advance. And we do exactly the same in the sales process. You know, offer someone, if you want a meeting with someone for 45 minutes, you know, if you're looking to target businesses with, you know, whatever you do as coaches or consultants, and you think, okay, well, I'm going to be targeting businesses, offer some intrinsic value in that meeting that has nothing to do with whether they become a client or not. So the focus of that meeting shouldn't be about pitching them or selling to them or about becoming a client. That works in inbound. I call it the myth of consultative selling. You know, when leads are coming to you, you can go through a consultative sales process where you can understand where they are, understand where they want to be, and, you know, understand what they've tried that's worked, understand what they've tried that's failed, and you can position yourself as the bridge between them. But if you're going out cold and directing people, or warm, you know, whatever phraseology works best for people, but ultimately it's the same thing. If you're targeting people, it's a myth that you can jump them straight into a consultative selling methodology. So design, and again, you know, I'm very conscious in my wording here, design valuing that first meeting. So you can give them something that even if they don't become a client there or then, you've given them some tangible value in that first meeting.
Wow. This is a great way to leave this. The final question is, I've told you who the audience is, and looking at you and looking what you want to do is, who do you want to hear in this podcast?
Who do I want to hear next as the next interviewee?
Well, I'm not sure it's going to be the next, but at least, you know, I can try if he's going to be there or she.
Oh, God, now you have put me on the spot now.
I love it.
Who would I like to hear from? I'd like to hear from a guy called Kevin Nations. And if you get that one, then hats off to you.
I've written the name down. We'll see what we can do. I can always tell. I always have to say I came through you, so he knows you, and we'll make sure that we have the connection there.
I don't think he does know me. That would be a challenge.
Peter, thank you very much. Where can people reach you the best? What's a good way to connect with you?
Yeah, of course. So I've got a 4-video online training that details a lot of the stuff that I've talked about. And it's www.theprospectingsystem.com. So that's www.theprospectingsystem.com. And at the moment, I may change it because people tell me that the videos are more valuable than most courses they've spent a fair bit of money on. So I might change it. But at the moment, at the point in time, there's 4 videos around 25 minutes, half an hour. And they will just give most people a complete system they could take on their own and create, you know, 5-10 more clients using an outbound methodology a month easily. And likewise, if someone wants to email me, ask me any questions, they can get me at peter@theprospectingsystem.com.
I will make sure that these will be in the show notes so that people can read it. But you've heard us, Peter, telling you that. So if you want to make a note, then just go to his website, theprospectingsystem.com, and you can just register for these free 4 videos. Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Dat was het gaafgesprek met Peter over verkoop. Je vindt de namen en links die Peter noemde in het artikel dat bij deze uitzending hoort. Ga daarvoor naar nohanning.nl/show92. Vergeet niet te abonneren op de Erno Hanning Show via iTunes, Stitcher of Soundcloud. Ga bijvoorbeeld in Stitcher naar zoek op Erno Hanning Show, klik op het plusje en je bent geabonneerd en je krijgt vanaf dat moment altijd automatisch de aflevering. Als je er toch bent, klik dan ook even op de 5 sterren voor de beoordeling van jou voor deze podcast. Heb je vragen over deze aflevering met Peter of over de podcast? Stuur dan een e-mail naar podcast@ernohanning.nl. Ik hoor graag van jou en ik lees elke mail persoonlijk. Ben jij teleurgesteld in het resultaat van jouw online acties? Heb je het gevoel dat je kansen mist? Doe de online resultaatanalyse en leer hoe jouw bedrijf online meer klanten en meer omzet krijgt. Vraag nu jouw analyse aan. Boek het nu, want mijn agenda loopt uit snel vol. En als je op de wachtlijst komt, hoor je vanzelf wanneer je een plekje vrijkomt. Ga daarvoor naar onlineresultaatanalyse.nl. Ik zie je graag in de volgende aflevering. Tot dan!
Dankjewel voor het luisteren naar de Erno Hanning Show op ernohanning.nl.